Welcome to the Football Corner, Muncher's very own home for all things football. His name is Harsh.
And his name is Shreyas.
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts or our website, munchermedia.com.
And don't forget to follow us on all social media at Muncher Podcast.
Awesome. So let's do this. First of all, it's December 30th at the time of recording. So happy New Year's Eve, everyone.
And belated Christmas, if that's a thing.
Yes, that's a thing. Especially for the Premier League, we have like so many fixtures back and forth. So why don't we just break down exactly what's been going on for the last 2 weeks?
Absolutely. It's been the year end and Boxing Day. Absolutely. So a lot of movement there. A lot of things happening.
Yes. Starting with Liverpool. They are world club champions.
Oh, absolutely. And what a game. I really, really enjoyed the finals.
Yeah. Firmino doing his thing finally.
Him in Brazil, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think they played a second string team for the Carling Cup quarterfinal against Aston Villa, got hammered 5-0.
Right. And even the Aston Villa team that was playing, that hammered them by 5 goals. That was like a makeshift team.
Correct. But were the sort of sacrifice World Club champions?
As Carabao Cup should have done better, I think. You know, because they could have easily pushed the fixture. And knowing the kind of team that Liverpool are, how committed they are to all their fixtures.
Right.
They really would have wanted to play this had they not been playing the World Cup.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I mean, I think that's been a problem for the Premier League all years, because in December, usually clubs play every month. They play anywhere from 4 to 5 games a month. Here, they're playing 6, 7, sometimes 8 games in December.
Absolutely. And just the last 2 weeks of December, like now until I think what, Jan first week, people are playing like what, 4 or 5 games?
Exactly. So we have Christmas, we have Boxing Day, then we have New Year's Eve, and then we have games on 1st Jan as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
So if you're a player, you don't have a family life, like how does that work?
But you have a lot of money, so that kind of like balances out, I guess.
Yeah, but you need time to spend that money. What are you going to do playing football all the time?
Look at Jesse Lingard, man, start your own, you know, clothing line. Yeah.
Fair enough. But with everything going on in December, with respect to Liverpool, I think they're still showing insane amount of consistency. They're still unbeaten at home for almost, I think, 50 games now. Is it finally their time? Because we've been watching football for close to like 20 years now. We've seen Jose Mourinho stop them. We've seen Carlo Ancelotti stop them. We've seen Sir Alex Ferguson stop them. We've seen Roberto Mancini stop them. We've seen Pellegrini stop them.
Right.
But Pep, what's happening to Pep?
He does mind, and his mind tricks clearly are not working.
Exactly.
And I think this is the worst title defense I've seen in ages.
Yeah, I mean, they're not even second for
crying
out loud. They're
not even putting up a fight anymore. Like, and especially comparing this team, this squad, last year's squad, the only thing that's missing right now is Laporte.
But
and to think that one guy would make such a massive difference to their entire team.
I mean, that too, that's one for sure. But I mean, knowing what Sterling has done for the last few years, he's not as present as he usually is.
Right.
Silva's
this season's not been as consistent for him.
Yeah, even David Silva, he's playing his final season.
But though De Bruyne is firing on all cylinders, he's probably literally dragging them through friction.
Absolutely,
right now.
Absolutely. So yeah, we don't know what's up. But with everyone else fighting for places, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, probably down to seventh and eighth, Liverpool just seem to be steamrolling to the title. Is it their year? Is it too early to call? Should we wait for Champions League knockouts? Who knows? But I think they've got this one in the bag. They've spent some decent money. They've got people up from nowhere. And I don't know. I think as a Chelsea fan, as a Premier League fan, I think it's good for them to win. It's good to knock City off their perch. It's good to get under Pep Guardiola's skin. But from a United fan's perspective, how is it to see Liverpool winning a title?
As hard as it is for me to say, I mean, this year is definitely their year. They've left no... I don't think there are any doubters left anymore, right? But we're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
They've played half games. They've won more or less all of them.
Yeah.
And they've drew a couple of games, I guess.
Right.
And apart from that, you can just see the mentality that this team has right now.
Yeah.
Even when they're down, even when they're losing, even if it's 80th minute and they're down.
Yeah.
You can just see that they just played their game. They're always concentrating on what Klopp's told them.
Yeah.
Attack, attack, attacks. Alexander Arnold Trent, yes. Robertson, the kind of talent that the team has right now, it's right. just a joy watching them play.
Absolutely.
And this is coming from a United fan.
Yeah, it's not so rosy for United. But yeah, Liverpool haven't even wasted time spending money. They've signed from Red Bull. They've got Minamino.
Yeah. And I think he's going to get something good to the team.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he was the one who finally cut Van Dijk for the first time this season or something.
That was the other guy. I'm forgetting his name, but yeah, it wasn't this guy.
Wasn't this guy? Oh, but actually, he scored. He scored twice. Yeah, he nicely faked Van Dijk, and he was a transfer target for Chelsea as well. But yeah, these guys nice and early did their business. In terms of City, they're challenging or rather being challenged by Leicester. Do you think Leicester will hold on to second place?
I actually really hope Leicester do hold on to second place. Yeah. The way they've been playing, the attitude that they've shown, the way Vardy is still running around like an animal,
yes.
the things that Brendan Rodgers done for the team,
right.
I really want these guys to finish in top four and at least, you know, get into Champions League this year.
Let's see. I mean, I actually thought Brendan Rodgers might just take up the job at Arsenal, maybe go somewhere else, Tottenham maybe, but I don't know. I think for him to stick on, continue with this team, considering the things that they've been doing, it'll actually be fun to see them not just beat top four, but actually beat City to second place.
That'd be a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, but then, like, where does Pep go from here? Like, he clearly doesn't cut it in the Champions League. We'll see, you know, what happens come knockouts.
And they've drawn what, Real Madrid?
Yes.
City? Oh, wow. Rosie.
So, they've always had bad luck. They've been knocked out by the PSGs and whatnot. They've not been knocked out by Liverpool so many times.
Right.
So where does Pep go from here? I mean, does he try for the domestic title again? Does he try for Champions League? Does he spend shit tons of money in the summer? What does he do from here?
So all the interviews that I've been watching Pep in, like, I think he's smart enough to know that this is a losing battle, at least this season.
Okay.
For Premier League.
Yeah.
And I think the main task that he was responsible for was to get them up in Champions League,
right.
get them winning, get them at least to the semi-finals, finals.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he's done a good job, but he's not won it.
Yeah.
And I think there are still some doubters there. He really needs to prove them wrong this year. And if they can't do anything in the Premier League, then Champions League is probably the only way for him to stick around.
Yeah, but considering what we've seen so far, Laporte's still not there. They're still struggling with their defense. I don't know if they will be able to do something come February, but also, another interesting fact about Guardiola is he doesn't stick around for more than 3 to 4 years at any club, and this is his fourth year.
Yeah, but generally, in those 3 to 4 years, he does a lot. He wins a lot of titles.
Yeah,
and I mean, here it's. I mean, he's won the Premier League.
He won the domestic treble last season.
Treble, yeah, but it ain't no Champions League, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, ask Liverpool. Would they want the Champions League? Would they want the domestic league? I mean,
I think Liverpool want it all right now. and I think the way they're, you know, there's just steamrolling past teams.
Correct.
I think they might just get their way.
Yeah. So anyways, that's what's happening at the top. Lots of shuffling down a little bit in the center. We have Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, United. It's so interesting to have like a top four 10 years ago, which is basically Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, United, to now having a top six with Spurs and City. I think apart from Liverpool, second to sixth, we've just been shuffling around like crazy. Chelsea, okay, I'm very proudly wearing my Chelsea scarf. It was a nice fight back against Arsenal.
Yeah.
But
I think you guys robbed him. You robbed them of that win.
I think the ref did, because Jorginho probably should have been sent off.
Easy.
And then
I have no idea what people are doing on the field these days.
Exactly. But yeah, and then he gets the equalizer and obviously he helped control the game also. But no, I just think overall Chelsea, initially we stuttered a little bit. Then we had a good run of form. I think that sort of exceeded expectations. And then the second these youngsters start to make mistakes, and Lampard himself is a youngster when it comes to his managerial career. To see us falter, everyone's like, oh, and then the transfer ban gets lifted and, oh, we're going to spend shit tons of money, etc., etc. I don't know. I think me as a Chelsea fan, I realize that Lampard does need a season or maybe even 2 seasons
Absolutely.
Minimum.
And maybe a couple of transfer windows under him.
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly what's significant. Right now, what I'm interested to see is that Chelsea's always gone, in my opinion, the wrong way to get like these stop gaps. They'll get like your Giroud's and your Batshuayi's and stuff, but they're not long-term sort of, prospects.
Right.
So we've been seeing rumors of like 150 million kitty for Jan. We want to bid for players like probably Jadon Sancho. I doubt Dortmund's going to let him go. I think it's going to be a very Pulisic situation where even if we sign him in Jan, they're not going to let him come to us before the summer. We might just loan him back.
Right.
But that's just wishful thinking. We're also thinking about a few PSG players, Julian Draxler, who Lampard has been saying is a Hazard replacement. I don't know how that is. I don't like Julian Draxler.
Yeah.
The guy's played only 8 games all season for PSG.
But Julian Draxler, when he is
on song,
he is a good player. Yeah. When he's on song, he's firing.
I don't know. I mean, he's at age, he's been at PSG for a really long time. He's only 26 years old. I haven't seen him do much. Even in FIFA, he sucks.
Okay, wow.
So, yeah, but another really interesting prospect in midfield is Idrissa Gueye. He was killing it at Everton, gets his transfer to PSG, hasn't particularly made first team there. So that's another prospect that Lampard's looking at. But I think for me personally, I think a lot of people have to leave. I think Giroud, poor guy, if he wants to play Euro 2020 for France, he needs first team football. He's not going to get that at Chelsea. Pedro is randomly saying that, when I met my Barcelona friends during preseason and stuff, we were wondering if Barcelona calls me, I won't think twice. Fine, bro, go. Like, stop collecting your pension in London. Willian, is a good sort of experienced guy to have with the youngsters, and he's actually been killing it these last few game weeks.
Past games, a couple of games, he's been phenomenal for you guys.
Yeah, this Arsenal winner, he outran people who were probably 5-10 years younger than him.
Absolutely.
So that was a little scary and fun to see. That heavy touch just before the assist, I was like,
even just... I thought he lost it for a moment there with the heavy touch.
Right, but thanks to Mustafi and Luis,
doing what he does best.
Oh my god. I mean, I'm still not convinced Abraham is your go-to number 9 Chelsea.
Yep.
At the same time, we need to have like a similar center forward, young or old, and just so that they can compete, and whoever's better just gets first team. It can't be automatically Tammy first team and Giroud and Batshuayi just waiting in the wings.
Right.
So yeah, so even I think Batshuayi doesn't cut it. I think Zuma, not really sure what's his scene. Tomori's young, he can stay. Christensen's young technically.
And I think that's something that I like about Chelsea right now.
Yeah.
Is because Chelsea as a team need to create legacy.
Yes.
And Lampard is doing exactly that. He's giving young ones a chance.
Right.
He's letting them, he's planning ahead. He's planning for the future. He sees the potential in them.
Right.
And he's getting rid of all the players that aren't gonna, fit into his idea of the team or physiology. So I think that's something that's very important. We've seen United do that. We've seen Real Madrid do that.
Yes.
A lot of this is how you create legacy. And I think bringing on Lampard to do that, and we already know, Lampard has been one of the smartest players to ever grace Premier League, right?
Correct.
So I think he's going to do wonders, and just give him his kitty. I think he'll do wonders.
Yeah, again, that absolutely works in theory, but do people have the patience? Do we have patience in 21st century? Because we've seen Klopp do it at Liverpool for the past 3-5 years.
Yeah.
I think his heaviest defeat was probably 2-3 years ago where they lost 5-0 at City.
Right.
And, people used to laugh at Klopp. They sold Coutinho for shit tons of money. We're like, they're selling their best player. What are they going to do from there? And now is when his project is complete. By making the final, losing to Madrid, making the final again, beating Spurs, finally challenging for the title, losing by 1 point, losing goal difference, losing all of this. And now finally it comes out. And they just everyone's saying he came out of nowhere. Klopp's been, winner throughout his life. Dortmund, no. He's had this project so long that people can't even track back to when it all started. When Robertson was bought from Hull City for peanuts.
Peanuts, yeah. 7-8 mil.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. And now he's one of the best left backs in the
absolutely.
Country.
And
if not
I think
the
that's something that about Liverpool, man. Their transfer window, their transfer signings, and all the people that they've sold off, it's been fantastic.
Correct.
So many good signings can't be a fluke.
Exactly. So
Trent Alexander-Arnold just coming into this, bursting into the scene he did.
Right.
It can't be a fluke, right?
So absolutely.
Clearly something behind the scene is going right for them.
Yeah. I think he's just such a great man manager in terms of keeping spirits up. There was this one time early days in the season where Salah didn't pass to Mane. They were already winning and Salah misses it. And they ended up fighting a little bit.
Right.
And Klopp was asked about it. And he said, look, that's actually a good sign because if people are fighting to score, imagine how high the ambition could be. You have Origi who randomly comes in these cup competitions, losing to Arsenal. They win it in the end 5-4, 5-3. So, obviously, he's been doing something right and he's been doing it for so long consistently. They didn't have Firmino for large parts of last season. They apparently suffered. Hell no, they won the Champions League. Fabinho has been a mainstay in midfield. He's injured. They're still doing what they're doing. Right. So maybe Klopp's a sort of a wild card in this day and age, because I don't think so a United or a Chelsea will have that sort of patience to say, okay, take your time, take a season, take two seasons, take your money, and then we'll figure out how it goes. Because talking about how Lampard's giving chance to youngsters, Ole's trying to do the same thing.
Right.
The last match you guys played against Burnley,
right,
although Rashford and Martial make it to the score sheet, I see king of the match Brendan Williams. I'm
absolutely
like, wait a second. I know Angel Gomez. I know Mason Greenwood. Who's this new kid on the block who's like man of the match suddenly?
And this is not even his first game. He's played a couple of games. He's played in Europa as well. He's played a couple of other leagues. Like he's played in FA and he's played in Carabao and everything.
Right.
But this guy... So he's come on as a replacement for Shaw.
Okay.
And there was actually a time when Shaw was on the sidelines and we thought we needed like a proper buy to replace him.
Yeah.
And this kid came on, he burst into the scene and he has been killing it from game one.
Yeah, man.
So just to see him, the kind of dedication he has, he has the iron will of McTominay.
Yes,
and
Scottish
hound. He has the pace of almost Rashford, I'd say.
Oh my God.
And he has a sweet, sweet left feet,
nice,
even though he's a righty.
Okay.
So that's... I know that's enough said about a young kid.
Interesting. So, I mean, I think that's what you got to do to be a left back or a right back,
absolutely,
or across play across a,
right,
or across the back four. Yeah, but and then talking about Ole and talking about lack of patience, so to say, with the hierarchy and the board and stuff. United had back-to-back matches against City and Spurs.
First manager in the world to beat Mourinho. Let me say this: to beat Mourinho and Pep Guardiola in the same week.
Damn.
Only at the wheel.
I mean, it was insane. I mean, I remember Vikram and me were talking about it, and it was before these matches, and we were like, yeah, Ole himself was saying that it's down to these two games, and he was indirectly saying, if I don't win, then I don't deserve to be there. And he goes and he thrashes both of them.
Yeah. And I think that's... So, even though at United, and as a United fan, I can clearly see change coming in.
Okay.
It is slow. It is really gradual.
Right.
But we've seen the best of Rashford.
Right.
We've seen the best of Martial.
I think that's down to positioning.
Positioning as well as the... So basically, Ole himself has been a finisher.
Right.
If he can teach these kids what to do and what not to do up front, I think that's his job. That's
right.
Job well done.
Right.
And on top of that, all the three signings, the three new signings have been spot on. Daniel James runs his ass off.
Yes.
Gets knocked around all throughout the game. Goes out, gives an assist regardless.
Yeah. Right.
Van Bissaka does not leave a man. He's no stone unturned. He does not like being passed.
Correct.
He'll go in for the tackle, and those tackles are inch perfect. I don't think right now in Premier League there's a better tackler than him.
Okay.
Off the ball. Harry Maguire, he might not be the most commanding figure.
Yeah.
But right now he's been super solid defensively. He's helped Lindelof.
Yeah, Lindelof hides behind him.
Absolutely. He's helped Lindelof improve his game. So we've needed players like these to come in. You know, and with Fred finally showing his true colors, Fred has finally settled in.
Yeah.
He passed a couple of games. He's been fantastic. And I've probably been one of the naysayers when Fred came on. And he's not United material.
Correct.
I've said this.
Yeah.
And I'm very happily I'll agree that I'm wrong.
Right.
I was wrong.
Right.
And he's been fantastic. McTominay fitting in. Now, just I think the last piece of the puzzle would be Pogba fitting in at number 10.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think we can wreak havoc. We can be a really good team. As long as we can be consistent, it's just about mentality when you're playing against smaller teams.
Yeah.
Because we've clearly seen that mentality that United goes up against when they're playing bigger teams.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, yeah, you guys are like the Robin Hood of the Premier League. You steal points from the rich and give it to the poor. Yeah, you guys struggle against Newcastle and freaking Sheffield and Norwich and Spurs, no problem. City, no problem. Arsenal, bring it on.
Chelsea.
I remember that. So, yeah, it's so funny. But yeah, I think from my perspective, what I understand of United is that, just playing Martial up front, number nine, playing Rashford on one of the wings, that just works wonders.
Right.
Give them a guy behind to like sort of run the play a little bit, which ideally should be Pogba, but he's been a little in and out of form, injuries. But then behind him, there's no spine per se, except for McTominay, who's your Scottish Terrier. He's a freaking raging bull.
Right.
And 80th minute, 90th minute, he'll start making those runs into the box. He'll get penalties. So he's a delight to see for anyone who wants to learn how to play in midfield.
He's pure steel, man. Absolutely. You need people like that in the team.
Right, but besides him, Pereira, I don't know, Fred.
Yeah, exactly. No. So this is exactly what I thought of Fred as well.
Yeah.
But lately, this season, the past, what, 4-5 games that I've been watching him play.
Right.
And he's just improved drastically. Like, he's another player now.
Right.
His confidence on the ball, the way he distributes, the way he interrupts passes, all of that. He's doing what a proper midfielder should be doing. And
right.
I think everybody's acknowledging it.
Yeah.
And not only that, Ole, dude, how are we forgetting Mason Greenwood?
Yes.
This kid already has 8 goals.
And he's not even first team.
Right, he's not first team. He has 8 goals. Yeah. I was reading the stats somewhere where it said that Mane has 13 goals.
Yeah.
Salah has 13 goals. And I think Firmino has around 8 or 9 goals in all competitions.
Okay.
That is a total of 34 goals.
Right.
Rashford has 16.
Yeah.
Marshall has 10.
Yeah.
And
Mason Greenwood
has 8. That's the exact same number. So I think up front we're as lethal a team as any other team in the Premier League.
Right. So
it's just the midfield.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, I mean, even with the signing, spending 150 million close to it on Maguire and Wan-Bissaka, David De Gea hasn't been particularly consistent. Yeah. I think since that 2018 World Cup, he's just, he's sort of, not just his value, I think his confidence, him flirting with the, him flirting with transfers, Madrid, all of that stuff.
Right.
I mean, he can still show up, but I remember that game against, was it Watford? Where, he misjudged it. Did he want to punch it? I think he was going to hold the ball.
Trying to hold the ball, went through his hands.
And it wasn't fast. It wasn't a deflection. It was just an awkward, this thing where the
wobbly bounce.
Yeah, Ismail Saar just gets his foot to the ball. It hits him, hits the ground.
Right.
And it comes bouncing to him on a loopy sort of fashion. I mean, I'd have the same criticism for Kepa as well. He's the world's most expensive keeper right now.
Right.
There are a lot of rumblings in Chelsea communities and stuff where he's not worth his price. And there are rumors that, oh, with the transfer ban, we might just look for another keeper in Jan. So I don't know. I think for United to sort out this stuff, they need some sort of spine in that midfield. They need probably another defender, and they need David De Gea to be back in form. And that's how you get your consistency, right? Because if you're settled back there, even in times of turmoil, you still have Rashford and Martial doing what they do best.
Right.
So, yeah, let's see what's in store for United. It's just halfway, which is a little bit more than halfway mark. Let's see who they have in the Europa League. let's see if they end up spending money in Jan. Because for now, Ole is staying.
Madison.
Bruno Fernandes, maybe?
Madison or Grealish, I'd say.
Let's see.
That'd be fantastic, but yeah.
Yeah, but talking about United and who they've been clashing with, we have the return of Jose Mourinho.
Oh, shit. He's the ex that sleeps with all your best friends.
Yeah, it was so weird. Like, he loses to United and then he comes to Chelsea and, like, Chelsea thrash him. That was a lot of fun. I don't know. I think overall it's just good to see. I know Eriksen is still not settled, but with everything else going on, Ali's back on song. Son is doing Son things. Kane is finally scoring again. Yeah. Lucas Moura. So I think Lucas Moura is replacing that sort of trident with Eriksen not being particularly first team. He's shaken up the midfield and the defense a little bit. Serge Aurier is now first team right back. He wasn't particularly first choice for Pochettino. So, I mean, irrespective of, I think, both of our histories with Mourinho, I think it's just good to have a Mourinho-like figure of in the top six as a manager, because he can just ruffle feathers.
Absolutely.
And even though he's a little more humble right now and he's a little like, don't hate me, I know it's United, I know it's Chelsea, but now I'm Tottenham and I'll go to the store and I'll buy Tottenham pajamas and sleep in Tottenham pajamas every day. I just think it's great for the Premier League to have a personality like him.
Right. And a manager of his caliber at Tottenham, man.
Absolutely. I mean, they've been killing it. They're suddenly back in the top six, top four race, along with United. I think, are just about a point behind Chelsea. It's nice to have him. But talking about great caliber of managers, we have Carlo Ancelotti
in
Everton.
In what world and how? Please, can somebody please tell me, how does this happen?
What?
Carlo Ancelotti being probably one of the best managers in the world. Yeah. One of them, easy.
I'd say
hands
so, yeah.
down.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming down to Everton, and now
maybe
I'm scared of Everton suddenly. I'm like, because Everton have had a fantastic squad. Their squad clearly has a lot of quality, a lot of potential.
Right.
No doubts there. And if you have a manager like Ancelotti coming in, and he can, get them, make them use their potential to their limits, I think these guys can become a team to be feared, man, in the Premier League.
For sure. I think only Richarlison has sort of stayed up with everything that's going on. But yeah, their most expensive signing, Sigurdsson, he's been nowhere. Their left back and right back has been pretty good. Dominic Calvert-Lewin has been scoring off late. But yeah, Luka Dean, ex-Barcelona, he's played really well at left back. But I don't know, would you rather see Carlo Ancelotti at a Spurs or an Arsenal? Or do you think Everton, like let's see what he can do with them?
I think for him, it's just an interesting project to, you know, take on. It's something that's going to give him a challenge to, you know, do something big in Premier League with a smaller team.
Right.
And clearly, Everton have the budget to spend right now. I'm sure they're going to give him his, you know, kitty of money to go and spend, millions to go and spend.
Correct.
And let's see what he, you know, brings on.
Correct. And like talking about small teams that are creeping up, Wolves been there, done that to a certain extent, but freaking Sheffield United.
Oh man, I'm loving the way Sheffield are playing right now, man.
I mean, who is this guy?
Just so much grit. Absolutely. To play with.
Yep.
So much intensity the entire team is playing with.
Correct.
That is just a blast watching them as a football fan.
Yeah, I mean, a very popular pick in fantasy, Lundstrom, number 7 Sheffield, left-footed, plays left wide or right wide. He's a defender on FPL, but he plays midfield. He plays those.
He gets 2-3 goals or 2-3 assists.
Yeah. And if they have a clean sheet, he'll get a plus 6 as well. So, yeah, unfortunately, he wasn't there for the game against City. He was injured and they lost 2-0. But, yeah, these guys came out of nowhere. I think the only thing I know about Sheffield is Phil Jagielka used to play for them. He was a midfielder for them. Everton signed him for shit tons of money. He was centre-back. And this season, he's gone back to Sheffield. But yeah, that was all I knew about Sheffield United. They're called the Blades. But yeah, we have Fleck, Moussa, we have Lundstrom, and they've been killing it. So let's see if they can hold on to a top 10, top 8.
Let's see if they can hold on to the players now. The kind of season that these guys have had.
Correct.
I'm sure these guys are going to get picked off one by one.
Yeah.
Like any good team in Premier League.
Absolutely. Feeder
clubs. Looking at you, Southampton.
Yeah, talking about feeder clubs, Borussia Dortmund came out and said that we will not sell players to Munich anymore because we also want to be title contenders. And next thing you know, they signed Erling Brett Haaland from Red Bull Salzburg.
Who has, I think, what, 92 goals in 5 games this season.
Yeah, in the Champions League, I think one game week he scored like 5 or 6 goals or something. So yeah, he's this tall guy, Norwegian. And United were rumoring
very
to
heavy
be...
contending, exactly.
But yeah, for him to go to Dortmund and be understudy to Paco Alcacer, I think that's a brilliant
signing. I think it's a really good move for him.
Right.
Being the kid, because we've all seen how Dortmund are a club for youngsters.
Absolutely.
They really promote them.
And absolutely.
The kind of football that these kids develop.
Correct.
They become stars. So
absolutely. Yeah, ask Jadon Sancho. Didn't get his chance at City. They thought he was nobody. Goes crying to Dortmund. 19 years old, 120 million valuation.
Yeah.
We have Thorgan Hazard, the lesser known Hazard. He's doing well. We have Julian Brand from Leverkusen.
They put Witzel back on the map.
Absolutely. He was rotting away in China or some shit. Has a good national tournament at the World Cup. And they're like, "Wapas aatu, idhar aatu." So yeah. Nice little business being done there by Dortmund. But in terms of business, why don't we talk a little bit about FPL and talk about virtual money? not such a happy topic for you, but I know I think going through again half of the season so far, it looks like it's not so much about who you're choosing, it's more about captains. Who's your captain.
Absolutely.
But with Liverpool, with City, with players like Mane and Salah who are like 10, 11, 12, De Bruyne, Sterling, we have Ali, we have Son, we have Rashford coming in and out. I just see someone has 72 points.
Oh, yeah.
But he's still 8th out of 11th in the
screw you
in the league. Yeah, and then you have Kane, he's 10 plus. Firmino, he's slightly cheaper. Vardy's been killing it, he's top scorer. So how do you choose who to captain? How do you choose from these marquee players? We've seen Liverpool struggle, Salah injured, but then Salah comes and scores 2 goals.
Right.
We've seen Mane doing his thing. So
I think for me right now, my captain pick generally always has to be either Mane, De Bruyne, Vardy, or Rashford.
Again, so
these 4 guys.
Yeah, so you're saying 4 players. Like,
yeah, but you don't know who's going to perform how this, like, every
exactly.
week. So it's such a flip of a coin, right? Yeah. Like, what's going to happen?
Right. I mean, we even have, I think his name is Garry Kasparov. He's, I think, one of the first guys who beat Vishwanathan Anand at chess.
Oh, yeah. And he's number one.
He's number one all world, yeah, global worldwide. FPL. And he's like, I want to be known for this, not for my chess achievements, because that's how difficult it is. And he himself said, he's like, it's 50% instinct and it's 50% data. And he's like, data will set you up to a certain extent, but beyond that, it's pure instinct.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know, man. Like, I've been playing FPL pretty much since I started watching, and it's been close to 20 years. And I used to have, like, my standards, you know, Lampard, captain, Cristiano Ronaldo, Rooney, right. Henry. And these were the only players who were double figures. Yeah. They were 10, 12, 14 value. And everyone else, you had your left backs and your right backs. You had your Wan-Bissaka from Crystal Palace. You had these small players here and there. Now, everyone's a big player. You have, if you want Van Dijk, he's 6.5, 7. You want left back, right back, you got Trent and Robertson, they are 6.5, 7. Everyone's so freaking expensive.
I saw somebody triple captain Trent.
72 points.
72 points from one guy.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, he got 24 points and that goes up to 72. So, yeah, I mean, it's so weird. So, yeah, things have always been shaking up and down. But our leader, Vibor, he's been killing it since forever. He gets in Ali before everyone else got Ali. He was captaining De Bruyne before everyone else was captaining De Bruyne. He's been playing Rashford and Vardy before everyone else was playing Rashford, Vardy. So, if you think you saw it, he saw it 2 game weeks ago. Yeah, we don't know how he's doing it, but apparently he's doing it. But yeah, besides that, I think in terms of fixtures to look forward to and everything else going on in the Premier League, I think Jan is going to be fun. Today is December 30th.
Yeah.
Along with the Happy New Year, we open up our transfer window. So if you had all the money in the world and you were working for United, who would you buy and why?
Right now? Oh, man. I would definitely go for Madison or Grealish.
Yeah?
Because definitely we need someone to strengthen the midfield.
Right.
Maybe Sancho as a second buy if that's possible. But right now, midfield is mandatory. We need someone who's going to run his ass off, who's going to work, whose work rate is impressive.
Yeah.
Who's going to get the tackles in, who's going to provide some, you know, some sort of creativity up front.
Right. I don't know. I mean, just from Madison's perspective, looking at Maguire make the switch and not have so much of fun, I don't know if, you know, he thinks he can do the same thing, because it's so weird, because Brendan Rodgers, I think, is known for bringing up young players. He did a similar scene at Liverpool with Sterling. And now he's doing a very similar thing at Leicester. But these youngsters was somewhat already established. Tielemans has been killing it.
Right.
Madison sprung up on the scene last season. I think before that he was playing a level below, and I think there he was most valuable player or whatever, most assists and most contributions.
Vardy is always running, right? Every season.
Yeah, Vardy's snorting coke or some shit, man. The guy is 30 plus. He doesn't stop running.
Yeah.
Outscoring everyone. It's only halfway in the season, but I think he's up to like 16, 17 goals right now. Yeah. And next highest is Tammy at 12-13.
Right.
Like, that gap, it's insane. I think that's why I like the Premier League so much, because even if you have an out and out winner, you still have other players, teams,
right, who stuff. Doing really, really, really well.
Right. So yeah, so let's see what the transfer window brings for us. I think for Chelsea, I'd rather have more people leave than join, and just have some semblance of sanity, tactics.
I think Lampard is going to be super smart with his buys.
Yeah.
He seems like a guy who knows what he's doing. He has a set plan and he's following it to the T.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think if he gets what he wants, the transfers that he wants, I think Chelsea are going to have a really kick-ass transfer window.
Yeah, it's so weird. So, with this Russian spy being murdered or found murdered in the UK, whatever. So, yeah, Abramovich loses his status to work and live in the UK, and then he gets Israeli citizenship.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're on blood money, man.
Yeah, and there have been rumors that he's got his status back to work and live in the UK.
Right.
So maybe we might see some money splash in Jan. I don't know how that's related, but you know us Chelsea fans.
Well, I'm sure Chelsea has shell accounts, offshore accounts with billions stacked in them, because knowing Abramovich,
exactly, and
how things work.
Yeah, and his right hand right hand woman, Marina Granovskaya, she was there at the Arsenal game.
Yeah.
So was she looking at stuff? I know we've never seen her. She's always been behind the scenes.
Right.
And Petr Cech, new director of football, is busy playing ice hockey. He goalkeeps for one of these ice hockey
and
teams.
And he's killing it, apparently.
Yeah, man. On his debut, he saved like some penalties and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some weird, interesting stuff going on at Chelsea. But, yeah, we'll be back for more. I think that's all about now in terms of capping off 2019 and the last game week for 2019. We're going to be back next week and we'll have a mid-season review full on. We'll hopefully have Vibor on as a guest also to tell us what the hell, what voodooism he's doing for his FPL. The guy's freaking busy traveling all the time, but FPL...
FPL is always on point.
Always on. So, yeah, that's pretty much all from us, me and Harsh. And we had a guest who didn't bother to do anything. Pooja, any thoughts on everything that you've heard so far? Do you have a favorite team or a club? Or do you even play FIFA?
No.
I think she means Manchester United, like everyone else. Good job, Pooja.
So, yeah, so it was nice to have her here randomly for the last 35 minutes.
Very nice to be a part of this. No, I heard nothing.
Yeah, I mean, she got the wine. So, merry, merry former belated Christmas and upcoming Happy New Year to everyone. That's all from us. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.